Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. A little bit later on today in this hour, here in about 30 minutes, we'll be joined by the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo, get his thoughts. Now, it's been a couple weeks since we last talked to him, and team's three games above 500, but now over the last couple games, starting to see some starting pitching level back out, I think is a fair way to put it.
Maybe the White Sox were helping that a little bit. They've now been shut out eight times this year.
So we'll get JJ's perspective on the rotation. Also, something that you and I discussed with about Mikel Garcia early in the season, which was the power, right? He hit the home run last night. And is there a way where actually the fact that he's got a couple home runs in the first few weeks of the season, did that lead to some of his struggles at the plate? Like one of those, you hear that happen sometimes where a player suddenly, you know, hits a couple bombs early and you're like, uh-oh. Like that suddenly their approach at the plate changes a little bit. And does that lead to some other issues?
The Willie Mays Hayes offseason when, you know, he hit some homers in practice and all of a sudden he thinks he can be a power hitter. Like, no man, use your legs. Yeah. So maybe, I mean, I doubt that it's 0% of what's been going on. The Royals are just a wildly inconsistent offense, which I know we'll get to in a little bit. And hopefully, hopefully things will win tonight and then you'll just feel like, as a three-game losing streak. You know, every team but six in Major League Baseball have had a three-game losing streak or longer.
Yeah, three, even four you can handle. It's
five,
it's,
six.
It's preventing it from becoming, the five, six and beyond type of losing streak, which we know they haven't been able to prevent in prior seasons. You would like to think with this rotation, even though Reagan's had a rough go last time out, you would like to think when you have what you've gotten from the rotation that you've got enough stoppers basically rotation. Now, hey, you can get great starting pitching if your offense isn't going to step up. And like you said, we'll talk more about that here in a little bit with JJ Piccolo. Also later on today, Nate Taylor from The Athletic going to join us in studio. We're just a few days out from the NFL draft Thursday night. We'll be up at the Landing in Liberty for our big 610 Sports Radio draft party brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. And a couple more days for you to go on the 610sports.com and fill out that draft form. Chance to win $610 plus some Chiefs merch.
Or just show up on the day of, give yourself a little bit of time, and fill out that form before the draft starts at 7. So should be a great time out there at the Landing. It was super busy last year, which is great. Can't wait to meet some of you fans out there. We're just going to be hanging out, watching the draft, and seeing whether or not the Chiefs trade up or trade down or stay put. The three available options in any one draft, all a possibility, according to multiple reports.
We know three individuals that are staying put, though, for sure, and that is Mark Donovan, Brett Veach, and Andy Reid, as the Chiefs announced late last night or later in the evening, that all three receive contract extensions, and nobody is surprised by that. As somebody outside of Kansas City joked with me, they sent me a text, what have these three done to deserve an extension? Obviously, nobody's surprised based off of the track record of success that they are staying in Kansas City. For Andy Reid, you know what I love about this? First and foremost, let's just be honest. It's the whole Mike Florio retirement rumor stuff. That's what I love about this.
But he's not just taking the loss. It makes it less enjoyable for me. Instead, he's writing an article that says, I'm still right. I said all those crazy things, and the Chiefs didn't tell me I was wrong. Ergo, I was right. Think about that stance, by the way. The stance that is, if I say wild, unhinged things that have no basis in truth, but nobody says that those things aren't true, they're true. De facto, they're true. That's essentially what his article's claiming. But yes, it is funny for anybody who would have suggested or fought back or for, it wasn't just Flores, like a month straight where national media members were seemingly feeding off of that end of the story and saying, what if Andy Reid retired? And then we all kept trying to say, everyone together in one collective voice, Nate Taylor, Pete Sweeney, me, you, Bob, the whole damn station, the entire city was trying to tell you, I don't know how many radio hits I had to do and be like,
oh, yeah.
He is not retiring. I don't know how to say this any simpler. It was never going to happen. Now he's extended through 2029. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So he just was never going anywhere. Got it.
Yeah. So I love that in the spin and whether or not we'll be sitting here in January again and Mike Florio will have another column saying they're preparing just in case he retires. No, he's locked up until I think through by the time you add it up, I think it'll be 72 by the time the 2029 season is actually over. And what I like about this is now Andy has a chance truly to finish as the greatest coach of all time. That's in play now. Before you're like, oh, he's only going to coach for one or two more years. No, it requires some more work. It requires some more rings during that stretch. But, right, they've won back-to-back. If you tell me he's got another 5 years to win another ring or two, it's not crazy.
No, and 71 is the age Belichick is now, which is the thing we've been pointing out this whole time. The Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick age conundrum and the ages in which they were when they, I guess in this case, Pete Carroll maybe finished coaching. In the Bill Belichick thing, we'll see if he's going to continue coaching. He'd need 14 wins a year to get the all-time wins total, assuming Belichick doesn't pass it. He would need 14 wins a year over the course of this contract. And I'll just tell you, same thing as Belichick. If Andy gets to the end of this 5 years and he's, because 14 wins a year is a lot, he's 9 wins short, 8 wins short, 11 wins short, don't you think he's going to stay for one more year? I always come back to the same thing. Why would he ever leave with Patrick Mahomes? He has 3 Super Bowl rings in the last 5 years. He coached in football for 30 years of his life, not winning titles. He won one in Green Bay as an assistant coach, not winning any as a head coach in Philadelphia. I just don't know why you'd leave. I don't know why that's the time you would choose to leave.
You wait your whole career, you dream of having an opportunity to coach a player like Patrick Mahomes. Someone that's going to go down as the greatest quarterback in NFL history. And, you know, yeah, if your health allows, then you're going to coach. And that's always been the thing we've said over and over with Andy Reid. Hey, if he is physically able to coach, he's going to keep coaching. I really believe it. Like, whether, you know, does he get to play out all 5 years of this? I don't know necessarily that, but I think it's definitely what I would bet on at this point.
Yeah, if you made me take the over-under, I'd take that number of years. Yeah. You know, if you gave me the tie at 5.
You've got a team that's coming off of back-to-back titles, is a dynasty. So why wouldn't you ride out the dynasty? And even if they lose this year, the dynasty doesn't just end. That's not how that works. Now that they are a dynasty, it doesn't just end after 1 year of not winning it. The question is, are they going to do something that's never been done in NFL history, which of course is a three-peat. But even if they don't three-peat, it's not like suddenly it's just over like that. Now it means the next year after that, they need to get back to the, you know, Super Bowl or winning one to keep the dynasty going. But overall, they're in a spot as an organization, and all three of these individuals, Reid, Veach, and Donovan, they got extensions. They are the best-run franchise in terms of top-down right now in sports, period. Not just the NFL, sports. They have the titles to back it up. They've got the track record now of how they operate in terms of both through the draft and Brett Veach also retaining talent, keeping Chris Jones, signing him to a mega deal. Like, they have done everything you would want if you were to try to mimic an organization. It's why, you know, you've started to see some front office personnel getting picked off to some other teams. You know, for a while it was, hey, you know, coaching wise, they've done a good job retaining the coaching staff. We know the Niners tried to get Spags. The Chiefs found a way to keep Spags in Kansas City as their defensive coordinator. I know Ryan Poles is now the GM in Chicago. So you're starting to have some other organizations try to mimic what you're doing. I would argue the Texans, what they're doing to a T, personnel-wise, is trying to replicate what the Chiefs have done. And that's what happens in sports when you are the premier franchise.
Sure, and it's harder to replicate than it is just to be an individual. It's harder to be on that end of it. But yeah, I mean, look, when those got announced yesterday, I moved on about my day for a minute. I knew we'd talk about it today, but my initial response to that was like, well, yeah, duh.
Right.
Oh, what? They signed Brett Veach and Andy Reid and Mark Donovan to extensions? No. Of course. Like, obvious extensions. No doubter extensions. Brett Veach might be the general manager in this town for 30 years. He's definitely, by the way we talk about this, like, Andy Reid's already the best coach in Chiefs history. Brett Veach is going to go down as the greatest GM in Chiefs history. I don't know any of the other team presidents, so I'm not going to try.
Well, Carl Peterson was both. Remember,
he was
business side and on the field. Yeah.
Again, eventually, as sports got bigger, they got smarter in the sense of like, maybe you shouldn't do both of those jobs,
right?
Because, you know, they're different jobs and they require a lot of a person. So let's just separate them. But putting, like, knowing for the next 5 years, presumably, because Andy Reid, unless, again, barring health, his plan is to coach those 5 years. I don't think he's signing a contract through 2029 if that's not how long he's planning on coaching. Why not just sign it through 2028 or 2020? You know what I'm saying? Like, you could figure out a different number and just pay Andy so he's the highest paid coach in the NFL, which he is now. So he's planning on coaching that long. So for the next 5 years, you're telling me for sure I'm getting Veach, Andy Reid, and Patrick Mahomes? Okay. Well, then I got a 50-50 shot of winning a Super Bowl every year. Every year I walk into the season knowing that the Chiefs have at least, at bare minimum, a 50% chance of winning the Super Bowl that year. That didn't seem all that bad to me. I lock that up every single time if given the opportunity. The other part about the Florio thing is he said he was essentially burying the Chiefs. He's like, what miserable losers. This is his stance, that they didn't pay Andy Reid sooner. It's embarrassing they waited so long to pay him and make him the highest paid coach.
He's now the highest paid coach in football.
Remember, that was his stance on Mahomes, too. He just thinks the Chiefs need to pay people sooner. That's all.
Well, this all goes back to the agent stuff. You know, that was the issue, I think, with the Mahomes contract, that there were other agents in the league that were upset, maybe, that the deal turned out to be as team-friendly as it was because it made things a little more challenging for them. I don't know. The Florio thing is now just continues to be comical, and I can't wait to see next playoff season when we start to see any column speculating from Florio. Like, nobody can take that seriously whatsoever. We already didn't this past year, but you're right. I think the safe guess is he will once again be speculating about it every year the rest of his career, even though he just signed a new extension. And then whenever that day comes, because it will, whenever the day comes that Andy Reid does actually retire, whether it's in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, I don't know, he'll all of a sudden take a victory lap and be like, see, I've been telling you for a while.
The idea of taking a victory lap.
He can't admit that he was wrong.
How
he was wrong on this. He was wrong
on this
one. I've
been wrong before.
He was wrong on this one. This one,
we've all had bad takes.
Of course. But he's dug his heels in so far on this one.
Really deep. It, honestly, in a way, I will applaud him for his persistence. Because I didn't even think it was possible to continue to try to stand on this. I didn't think it was, I didn't see a road out from that take being so wrong and then just being like, no, it's fine, I'm sticking by it. Because the article, I mean, it's like five paragraphs and it just reads, Chiefs are cheap losers, they should have paid Andy sooner. And then the next four paragraphs are essentially just being like, no, they were preparing for that. And if you don't believe me, you're an idiot. And I know that he signed an extension, but they were definitely talking about it. And there's nothing you can say that is going to convince me otherwise. God, we've had Flora in this show once, maybe.
On Radio Row in Miami. That was after his comments kind of
hinting
at, where he
said you should hurt Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, hinting at, being aggressive towards the sidelines intentionally.
He stood, but that was another one. He's like, I didn't say they should hurt him. You said when he gets a step out of bounds, hit him. That's an illegal hit. You're suggesting hurting, giving an extra chance to hurt a player. I don't know what you're talking about. But, Florio. He was willing to die on this hill.
It's weird for him to also admit the fact of, hey, other teams typically shoot me down. You know, as soon as I speculate something, I get a phone call. You know how much he speculates? The amount of times he's hit up by agents or head coaches themselves, like, hey, man, this isn't true. The amount of times has got to be just ridiculous. I wouldn't want to admit that. It's not a flex.
It's weird for that to be a win. To be like, when I say things and then they're not true, which is all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
All the time he's admitting. Yeah. All the time I say things that are just not true. And when they're not true, those teams tell me they're not true. So that's how I know this one is. You're like, so wait, are you admitting to me that like, hundreds of times a year you say wildly speculative things and like the head coach of a team calls you up and is like, Mike, that's just not true. And you're like, okay, I'll report it as much now. I know I was saying that crazy stuff earlier, but now I'm on board. Like, what a weird thing to admit. It's a really weird thing to admit.
So, by the way, Andy Reid, 258 regular season wins. He's only behind Don Shula, 328, Halas, 318, Belichick, 302 in NFL history. Then if you throw in the postseason, Reed's got 284. He trails Shula, who has 347, Belichick 343, and Hollis 324 for most in NFL history. But Reed, Veach, Donovan all getting extensions. Andy Reid's extension, we know, according to Tom Pelissero, goes through the 2029 season. Again, coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk some Royals baseball with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo. But the draft is in just a couple of days, and towards the top of the draft, there's still a ton of speculation on what could happen with these quarterbacks. That's the focus. There could be 5-6 quarterbacks taken in the first round, maybe 4 in the top 5. We shall see. Could it be 1, 2, 3, 4 if the Cardinals were to trade their pick and not take Marvin Harrison Jr.? And I was thinking more about where these young QBs, Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels, Drake May, JJ McCarthy, where they could end up and where's the worst landing spot, actually, if you're one of these. We know Caleb Williams is going to the Bears. And, by the way,
that's actually not the worst landing spot anyway.
I don't think so at all. You and I have questions about the head coach, but when you consider DJ Moore and some of the personnel and some of the decisions they've been making, they actually seem like they're headed in the right direction.
Eberflus part of it I don't love.
Yeah, the coach. Yeah, I'm with you. Worst landing spot. This is pretty obvious, isn't it? If you actually take a quarterback, Patriots at 3, it's you. It's the Patriots. That's the worst landing spot.
Time.
Think about it. We can get into historically how bad it compares, even to Carolina a year or so ago. But for this year, all right, Washington, Chicago, New England are 3 spots guaranteed to take a quarterback, we think, right? New England's a little bit more iffy, but it seems pretty safe. And then maybe Denver takes one. Maybe the Raiders take one in the first round. But really, we're talking about out of Commanders, Bears, and Patriots, the Patriots far and away are the worst. They're in an AFC East that has Josh Allen in it, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And at least for 1 year, we'll see about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, right? At least for 1 year, the Jets are clearly going to be a problem for you if you're the Patriots. You have no weapons. None. Who's he? Kendrick Bourne? Is that still the number one wide receiver in New England?
Is he still there?
I think he might be.
Maybe he was I don't remember now. I don't want to say for sure, but maybe.
Okay.
Maybe that's your number one weapon.
Maybe it's Kendrick Bourne. You start, and it's a first-year head coach. I don't think that's a great landing spot. Whereas the Commanders, all right, they got Dan Quinn, experienced head coach, more of a defensive guy. Cliff Kingsbury's the OC who might be there for a year or two if you have success. So you might have to learn a new system in a year.
Yeah.
That's a little unfortunate. But you got Terry McLaurin as a nice weapon. You have John Dotson. You got a couple nice backs. Like, I don't think that's a terrible landing spot. Remember, Dan Snyder's not there anymore. We gotta stop thinking of the Commanders like we did for 20 years.
No, but so... Okay, so I agree with you. New England's the worst option, unless I'm including the Giants. If they took a quarterback, a quarterback, just run away from that organization. Have no idea what they're doing at quarterback. Have no weapons. Don't, you know, like the coaching, like all of it. Mess. Not interested. Like across the board, the Giants would be at the top of my no-no list. If I were a quarterback choosing, I would choose the Bears. I would choose the Vikings because I get a throw to Addison and Justin Jefferson. Sure. I like the head coach in Minnesota, so I actually think that there's some viable options there. That would probably be my range. I'll make I think if I wasn't choosing New England, Washington would be my second least choice because I think their entire selling point is hopes and dreams. It's all just like, it sets up pretty nice if their coach is okay. Their weapons aren't as good as Minnesota's. Like, they're good, but they're not like a top 10 team or 15 team in weapons. Their weapons aren't as good as Chicago, and their ownership is just an unknown. While you are right, it is not Snyder, and it's never going to be that bad. Their ownership is taking, I saw an article already, more involvement in this part than originally suspected. Things I already don't like to hear. And a lot of their, like, hey, they're set up for successes. They have a lot of draft picks. They got a lot of free agent money, which is like hopes and dreams. It's not that it can't.
Isn't that what all this is, though?
But I think some of these teams already have some of that stuff in place. Some of the hopes and dreams stuff is already like in motion in Chicago or in motion in Minnesota. I think in Washington, it's just like it's a year or year and a half before where I need to see some of that actually come to fruition. That's all.
I wonder if the reason the Patriots aren't the worst one is because everything is resetting. It's not like there's no expectations. I think everybody expects them in some way, shape, or form to struggle because of the division. It's not like you're with the Panthers. It was Bryce Young's coming under Frank Reich. Frank Reich had made the playoffs. The team stinks, but you've got everything is new for them. And I wonder if
you have success there? You know what I mean?
Like,
that's my, like, I hear you where there is no expectation, but if you're like however you view Jaden Daniels, however you view Drake May,
in terms of
do
success.
You think they can have the same success if they get drafted by the Commanders or the Vikings as they will in New England? I don't know how you can say
definitely worse spot. Yeah, that's
where I'm at with it. Now, like Carolina last year, what was worse, landing in Carolina or landing in New England this year?
Carolina,
it's got to be Carolina.
In hindsight,
miserable spot.
I think in hindsight. Now what we know about David Tepper being involved, the owner of the Panthers, and forcing, you know, they fired Frank Wright midseason, and that Bryce Young was not the coach's pick, it was the owner's pick. All, knowing all that now, I think that situation is worse. But at this time last year, we did not know yet that Frank Wright, like, we all thought actually it was a great fit. Like, wow, Bryce Young's going to get a work with Frank Wright. This is a really good spot. You got Adam, you know what? Adam Thielen, you can have some, you know, that's not a bad veteran wide receiver to have around. So I think in hindsight, Carolina, I'm with you. It seems way worse than the Patriots situation, but I don't know if we felt that way a year ago.
Having miserable ownership is a really hard thing to overcome. That's where I get stuck in the middle on Washington, because Washington is a franchise as no trust in this issue. They have three winning seasons since the year 2000. Okay? Almost a quarter of a damn century, and they've got three winning seasons during that time. They are not a good organization. They have been poorly run forever. Different owner. So is the new owner good? I don't know. I probably thought Tepper was fine when he got hired, and it turns out, miserable existence. So once I get a feel for like the Washington ownership group, it probably makes me feel real good, but I don't think Quinn's going to drive you towards like some magical thing. The truth is, a lot of it is like, I don't think, like, I've gotten a little bit older where I do think that where you land does matter to a point, but I don't think you're just going to be miserable in that situation. But Baker's a really good example of, if you just have everything go poorly around you, there's nothing you can do to dig yourself out of the depths. Baker is a NFL starting caliber quarterback. Is he a superstar? No. But it should have gone as bad as it did at his first stop? No. He landed one of the worst organizations on the planet.
I mean, I think even not, it didn't go terribly for Jared Goff, but he needed that change of scenery to really get the full potential. Baker, in the same sort of way, kind of that way. I think the Carolina thing that's crazy is it's a bad place for head coaches to go. It's a bad place for quarterbacks. Like, what if you're drafted by Carolina? I mean, it's, you just, you like, you have to be accepting, like, yeah, I'm happy to be drafted by the team that I am, but in the pit of your stomach, you know that it's the absolute worst spot to be in, even now, for any player. It doesn't even matter if you're a quarterback or not.
I mean, the straight-up comparison is just C.J. Stroud was in Houston.
Yeah.
Bryce Young was in Carolina. Now, C.J. Stroud was incredible. I'm not saying he wouldn't have had any success, but if Bryce Young was in Houston, well, and C.J. Stroud was in Carolina last year, what are we saying?
Maybe the same thing that we are for opposite quarterbacks, I guess, because of the situation, but it could be
different. I still think like it's like Bryce Young would have been better than he was in Carolina, but not as good as C.J. Stroud.
Right.
And C.J. Stroud would have been better as he was, or like he would have been better than Bryce Young in Carolina, but not as good as he was with the Texans. My guess is like it moves you on the scale, but it doesn't just take away the level of player you are either. Bryce Young got tossed into the worst situation. Like, there is no worse situation in the NFL right now, I don't think, than Carolina. Their owner was reportedly sitting in meetings just to diss the play calling of the head coach. How could that? And force them. It just can't.
Hire the Bucs OC, right? Canales or whatever.
No wonder he took the job because they couldn't get anybody else.
Well, and if you're him, it's like you don't pass up that opportunity.
Yeah.
And he still made him give him a 6-year contract. Like, he still asked for more years than a rookie head coach way down on the coaching list desirability chart getting a job got in favor of.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the potential landing spots. Hey, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll actually get to J.J. Bacolo, Royals general manager, going to join us on the show. We'll talk about this rotation and where this team is at. They have lost three in a row, trying to get back at it tonight against the Blue Jays. We have some good news after weeks and weeks of discussing Drew's apartment issues. Now what?
I got an email yesterday trying to follow up. So we had the mold test for everybody that didn't know, and we were waiting for the results. Normally, who knows how long they can take, but response back was, I was actually about to reach out to you. The test results haven't come back yet, but after talking to our supervisor with your issues that you've had, we will let you break the lease.
So you're out of the lease.
You're done?
Lease. No penalty, nothing.
We are done. And
there we go. Finally. Finally. Yep. See, a little pressure was needed. A little pressure was needed. My guess is that mold test wasn't going to come back favorably for them. So they're like, let's just go ahead and get out of this thing. This guy's driving us crazy. He's emailing us. He's complaining. Let's just let him out. Good.
Congratulations, Drew.
All right.
I'd like some more details later in the show, but yeah. But congratulations Thank on you. Getting out of your lease. Thank when you. Are you moving? Like today?
as much as we would love to do that, it'll be. We're hoping in the next 2 weeks, maybe sooner. Maybe sooner.
So you're moving into Cody's basement for 2 weeks, and then you're going to go ahead and find a new spot.
I will say this. I genuinely thought if we got out by the end of the month, I thought about that option. I wonder if Cody would actually allow us to do
Could
that.
Could you imagine the show content just care. For 2 weeks?
Honestly, without even asking my wife right now, if you needed to stay at the house, it'd be fine.
I don't.
You guys would be in the basement, then you'd just be going upstairs in the kitchen to cook.
Is this something I'm supposed to ask my wife?
Yes, Cody.
Is this something I should run by her?
You're gonna have another couple staying in your house. You need to ask your wife.
I think she'd be fine with it.
You're not gonna have a problem. I don't think Bree would want to invade your space in that
our
way.
Life's and not also, that
Bree would not want to do that. It's
hard to invade our space. I'll be honest with you. It's fine.
All right, I want to talk more about this later. Like you said, people were asking if they thought that you were about to out them on the radio or something. And maybe we'll talk more about the details. But great news, Drew's apartment situation seems to be resolved, and he's getting out of that place after months of issues. Up next, though, let's talk some Royals baseball with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo. We'll ask him about this rotation right now and some of the struggles going on with the offense.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
If you like piña coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga.
Just getting started here on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. My guess is we'll have a mock draft sounder coming up at some point in the next half hour or so as we inch closer
couple days, you know,
to the NFL draft, our big draft party coming up on Thursday night over at the Landing up in Liberty. But let's talk some Royals baseball. They're once again at it tonight against the Blue Jays out of Kauffman Stadium. Of course, the game right here on 610 Sports Radio. And every couple weeks, we're always pleased to be joined by the general manager and executive vice president of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo. Good morning, JJ. Great to have you on the show. How things going?
Doing okay, guys. How are you?
We're all right. I wanted to just ask you right now with where the team is at. In the middle of a little three-game losing streak, what have you noticed is different right now than maybe even a week ago?
Well, I think clearly, and this is not a knock at all, clearly the starting pitching's given up some runs, but they were performing so well that you know there's going to be some sort of regression. And, you know, there's a time where you want your offense to come around. And, you know, we did a good job battling back into the game on Saturday. Didn't quite get it done, but the offense did a nice job. And then Sunday we're a little flat. And, you know, last night, you know, missed out on some opportunities. But, you know, that's the ebbs and flows of the season. That's the way it goes. And, you know, one side's got to pick up the other, and I know they will.
When you look at the offensive end, is that like, you know, I could go back to your experience with some of these younger teams in 2012 or 13 or maybe even 14. Is the inconsistency in the offense something you think is just common with a team that is still very young in the lineup?
Yeah, disagree, but I don't think there's been a lot of inconsistency there. We had the one day, Sunday, we were a little flat. First day, we were shut out this year. You know, you're going to have games where you don't score 10. You know, that's going to happen. So I think we've been pretty consistent, and I really believe when you look at run differential, that's a great indicator. And, you know, I don't know where we are ranked right now, but I know we were one of the best the first couple weeks of the season. So we're scoring runs. We're not going to let one night derail us, 2 days derail us. You just got to get back to the basics and make good swing decisions and put the ball in play when guys are in scoring position.
In case you have an interview later, they're third currently, JJ, in run differential at plus 36. When you look at the team, like when you talk about offensively, where do you still think you can improve, though? You mentioned the starting pitching had been so good. The offense has certainly scored its runs. Where do you think the improvement out of the offense or more going later in the year you'd like to see?
I think it's more, we got to get on base a little bit more. You know, we're not walking as much as I'd like to see us walk. Now, some of that is we have some pretty aggressive hitters, and that's okay. But then when you're not swinging at good pitches, that's your ability and time to walk if you're making poor swing decisions. But, you know, you got to put pressure on the defense. You got to put pressure on the pitcher. And you do that by guys getting on base, you know, hitting the ball hard, which I think we've done a pretty good job with. But, you know, I also think, you know, we don't want to talk about walking. That's not the mindset you want. You want it to be a product of being aggressive and making good decisions of which pitches to swing at. But we do know that there's a correlation. You know, you get on base, you score more runs. There's more scoring opportunities. So I think that's an area that you'd like to see us improve.
We're talking to general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo. I want to ask you about a conversation I actually heard HUD and Ryan LaFever having last night, talking about Mikel Garcia. They're having this conversation just about maybe some of his struggles, and then he goes and hits a home run last night, and he's got four home runs on the season. I think he had three in the first week and a half or so. Do you think, in a way, at times it can happen for a player where you suddenly have some power early on in the year and you haven't had it much in your career? Can that impact your future at-bats, like in a negative way, where maybe you're starting to look for that a little bit more than you should?
Yeah, there are certain players that certainly happens to. I personally don't think Mikel's one of them. You know, he's just an aggressive hitter, you know, and if he swings at good pitches, he's going to drive balls. So I don't think he's one of them. We do have had others over the years that, you know, when they hit a big home run, it might not be the best thing for them. It gets them out of their swing. But in this case, I don't think it's really Mikel's mindset. He's just looking to hit the ball hard. You know, he was a little bit unlucky during that stretch. Certainly wasn't swinging the bat as well as he did the first week of the season. He was a little unlucky, and that's going to happen. But he got a couple hits the other day, then hits the home run last night. So hopefully it's a sign of him getting back on track.
Do you think the same thing for MJ Melendez? He hit a really long home run on Friday, JJ, but do you see a little more confidence in his swing? I think him and Mikel went through kind of a similar hitless streak.
Yeah, no, they did. It was the road trip. And with MJ, it's always related to his timing. And his timing was off on the road. But then when he came back Friday night, his timing was good. Put a couple good swings on the ball Saturday as well. So, you know, it looks like he's back in rhythm and he's on time and he's going to get the barrel to the ball the way he's trying to. But, you know, it's always magnified, too, when a couple guys who were swinging the bats really well, you know, get cold at the same time. You know?
Yeah.
So it always seems to happen that way. But again, that's why you have nine guys in the lineup. Other guys got to pick things up. I think the team we just played in Baltimore is really good. And when I kind of review those games, the bottom of their lineup did a really good job for them. And I think really is why they won the series. So when guys that, you know, you count on night in, night out to be the run producers, the run scorers, whatever it may be, you know, they're the nights you want the other guys to pick the offense up. And when that happens, you'll win some more games that maybe you should have won.
JJ, one of the guys who hasn't struggled, Vinny Pasquantino, obviously that mini slump there at the beginning of the season. I was thinking more about his future in Kansas City. You guys got a huge extension done with Bobby Wood Jr., but if other teams have locked up multiple young players at once, if Vinny keeps showing you the ability to be healthy and this level of hitting ability, you know, do you look in season? Do you look out of season? When do you guys look and talk about, you know, long-term options with Vinny?
Well, with all of our players, especially ones that are young and they have years of control left, and you think about what our payroll may look like in the coming years, we have those discussions internally all the time. You know, when's the right time? When should we do it? You know, we know Vinny's a talented hitter, and we'd love to have him here for a long time. You know, there's a rhythm and timing to all of those discussions, and when is it right? Some guys can handle things as they're going through the season. Most guys don't. They don't want to talk about contract extensions during the season. They want to wait till the off season. And most of those extensions are really signed when guys are, you know, finished their second year, second full season of service. That's usually when those extensions are, those discussions are a little bit deeper. You know, we need sample size. They need to know what their value is in the game, so you can have a common ground when you go to the table and talk about those things. And Vinny's coming up, you know, on 2 years of service. Mikel's, you know, going to be a one plus after this year. So they're young hitters that, you know, we like to talk about those things, but we need to do it at the right time.
Where does Vinny rank amongst like natural hitters you've been around in the Royals organization? Like, I'm an outsider, certainly, JJ, but like when I watch him hit, it seems a lot easier for him than others.
Yeah, he does make good decisions. I don't mean to keep repeating myself, but he does make good decisions, and he's one of the few hitters that I can recall that you see him make adjustments through the game. He realizes how guys are pitching him. He does a really good job laying off that ball that's, you know, down and away. He's able to get rid of pitches, fouling balls off. Again, that's something we saw Baltimore do really well. Ran our pitch counts up by fouling balls off. Vinny can do that. So he is a natural hitter. The best thing that Vinny does, in my opinion, is he doesn't try to do too much. You know, he's content with the single. He just wants to put a good at-bat together. If the ball's left up in the zone, he's got the ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark. So he just stays within his abilities, and he's very confident in, you know, their traits of great hitters.
We're only 23 games in this very long baseball season. I know that, but how much do you pay attention already to what's going on in the AL Central and just how competitive it has already been? And, you know, a lot of people thought this could be the worst division in baseball, but so far out of the gate, it looks a little more competitive even than others thought.
Yeah, I certainly pay attention to what the other teams are doing, but you also know it's so early in the season. You know, you go on a, you know, we had the 7-game winning streak. You do that, you're in a great spot, and you know you're going to be climbing in the standings. But it's hard not to look at what other teams are doing. But you know, it's all relative. You know, we're not even a quarter of the way through the season, so I think we just got to stay focused on today and take care of our business and not worry about what other teams are doing. The games are certainly more magnified when you're playing in division. We got a weekend series this weekend against Detroit. That's a little bit more magnified because you can gain some games on a particular team, so they're more magnified. But it's too early, and I love what Q is, you know, imparted on our team. It's about today. You know, we lost last night, but it's about today now. That's done. It's over. Let's move on.
JJ, I wanted to ask you about Salvador Perez. It's not like he needs more fanfare in Kansas City. He certainly gets plenty of it. But is he getting enough credit for the level of productivity he's showing at 34 years old while still playing catcher?
He's amazing. I really don't know how. He had that collision at the plate, and I'm thinking there's no way he's going to catch for 4 or 5 days. We know he's going to want to be in the lineup, but it's a groin for a catcher. And not only did he catch, but he made an incredible block. Gets up, throws a guy out at second base. Didn't expect him to play the second game of that doubleheader at all. And of course, as soon as the game's over, I'm good. I can play. And he's DHing the second game. He's just superhuman, and his pain tolerance is unbelievable. His love for the game can't be overstated at all. I mean, it is nobody competes and loves playing baseball more than Salvador Perez. And, you know, I'm hopeful that he can stay healthy for a number of years. And, you know, in our opinion, he's a Hall of Fame type of player. That does happen with longevity, and hopefully his body can hold up and he can put up the numbers that one day he's on the stage there in Cooperstown as a member of the Hall of Fame.
Lastly, before he lets you go, we know Jordan Lyles is on the inactive list. Any idea of how long you're expecting him to be away from the club?
No, we really don't. You know, it's something that's a personal matter, and, you know, we aren't at liberty to discuss. We just, you know, are trying to be helpful with Jordan and what he needs at this time, and we'll see where it goes. But we don't have any length of time to really discuss at this point.
JJ Piccolo, the general manager, executive vice president of the Kansas City Royals. Appreciate it as always, and we'll check in a couple weeks.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There you go. That's JJ Piccolo with us here on Cody and Gold. We know, again, Jordan Lyles on the inactive list, and it sounds like, yeah, there's obviously no timeline in terms of when he could be back with the big league club. They made a roster move yesterday as well. That, again, because he's on an inactive list, it doesn't count against the 40-man roster, so that's why they were able to do that without another move.
Hope everything's okay with Jordan Lyles. We're obviously a big fan of Jordan Lyles on
Champagne
this show.
Champagne
Lyles. We drank Dom Perignon because of Jordan Lyles. Obviously, whatever's going through personally, hopefully.
Yeah, wish him the best. You
know, it gets resolved or whatever needs to be taken care of. That's all. I didn't really. I did like the Asabi thing. I wanted to ask him, JJ.
Yeah, he turns 34 in like 2 weeks.
We probably were so used to it. And I know we did a topic maybe last week where I just told you, it was like, he deserves more credit for like just being a competitor. And you like, you don't need to trade for like a James Shields level competitor because that person exists in your locker room. His name is Salvador Perez. He won't take a single second off unless you make him. You physically pull him from the game. But at 30, this is important, at 34 years old at catcher, that's also what matters here. He's hitting 341 with a 400 on base percentage. He's tied for the league lead in RBI. Like, I mean, he's just not supposed to be able to have 1,000 OPS even 30 games into the season, in which he is doing kind of unfounded things at his age and at his position. It's like JJ pointed out, some of the broadcasts, they were talking like, oh my God, what if Salvi's out for like a really long time? Like, that injury looks pretty bad. And then you find out, nah, it's fine.
Well, it was kind of the type of play. I know they didn't call it this way, but it was kind of the type of play at the plate that they were, I thought, got rid of in baseball. Like, I thought that was the Buster Posey thing.
It's kind of the point.
And so that was.
I'm a little surprised they didn't like penalize him for that.
Yeah, but there was nothing there. And that's why you were immediately concerned. And of course, he ended up, you know, barely missing any time.
Like, if it's like Yadier Molina, like we talk about this with Andy Reid. Like, as much as you'd be like, how much longer do the Royals have with Salvador Perez? Yadier Molina played until he was 39 years old. You might have 5 more years left of play from Salvador Perez. Like, and it, especially if he's going to stay healthy. Look, Yadi got hurt 2 of his last 3 years and wasn't on the field very much. But, I mean, Salvador Perez, I mean, he's staying pretty healthy at this. You know, like, I understand he's going to miss some games because it's catcher and that's just part of the deal. But nobody's caught more games than him anyway.
I think it was Tim Kirchen who was on last week with Bob and Josh, and they asked him about the Hall of Fame case for Salvi. And I think the wording he used was, he thinks he'll be a Hall of Famer. He's not, you know, basically he's not one yet. And that goes to what you're saying. You're going to need more years of longevity added on here. And it wouldn't hurt, of course, if he gets another few cracks at the postseason before his career's up.
And only a couple more days.
Draft. One of the final mock draft sounders. Then we won't hear this thing anymore. Unless there's actually
only
severe
be
weather.
First Wednesday, only every... Right. The first Wednesday of the month, you'll hear this sound just in the city. Not on the show, though.
We're going to go to a local mock, Nick Jacobs over at KSHB.
41.
Our guy, Nick. Okay. He's well-informed. He stays in tune.
Guess how long the mock is, Cody?
Another seven rounder.
He did all 7 rounds, didn't he?
Another 7.
This is just more 7 rounders than I'm used to.
Just wait until we get the 2025 mock draft that comes out, you know, right after Thursday night.
Yeah, that's right. Mel Kiper's way too early mock. Round 1 does not have them trading up or out of round 1. He's got Ladd McConkey from Georgia.
All right. He's my second wide receiver draft crush. I've decided Leggett is my number 1. But Ladd McConkey would be an acceptable fallback option at 32. I just don't think the Xavier Worthy, like the A.D. Mitchell thing, I think he's a little too high, and I'm thinking at 32, which wide receivers I want. And yeah, Ladd McConkey's still on my list. I still like the way he fits.
I'll agree with you on this. I think they could just stay at 32. And to me, if they want McConkey, to me, they can get him.
Yeah,
like,
32?
I think that's one of the few names where you're like, hey, you feel like if you want him, he's going to be there. And yeah, I think McConkey fits that bill. So if you're just dead set, like, hey, I don't care. I want them to take a wide receiver at 32. Then I think you can go and get McConkey. Versus the A.D. Mitchell types, probably gonna have to move up. It seems like, again, I keep saying this, and I'm in my back of my mind, I always know that
there's just things we don't know about the draft.
We say we think it's all just based off of mock drafts and the draft experts and what they've been pushing out for the most part, because.
Ultimately, I don't really know where Ladd McConkey goes. He might go 60.
There's always a couple names in the first round. Somebody that everybody thought was going like 17, and he ends up going 40. And we're like, what the hell happened?
He's a steal.
What a steal in the second round. There's a guy that goes 17th that we thought was going 39. And we're like, oh, what are you doing? He didn't have to trade up. So this is what makes it fun. But also just I remind myself of that as we're talking about this. The comparison for Ladd McConkey. Oh, for big draft is big time groupthink. Elijah Moore is the comparison that Lance Zierlein, NFL Network, gave for Ladd McConkey.
A lot of what they like about Ladd, too, consensus-wise, is his route running, his footwork is elite in terms of separating and getting open. So helpful option.
They project as a round two for him, which is why I think he'll be there at 32.
Yeah.
And right, Cody, round two, 32, almost round two.
Pretty
anyway,
much.
Right?
I mean, 32, doesn't really matter.
He might as well be a second round pick.
After pick 15, it's all second round.
That's right. That's right.
It's third round by pick 34. So
probably.
I was going to say, that means their second round pick, tackle Kieran Amagaji from Yale, is a third round pick.
Okay.
But he's going in the second round.
That's the second time we've heard that guy yet.
A guy that I think is definitely, okay, not definitely going to be available there, but in terms of the next tier of tackles,
he's
in that bunch.
I like him because it's like the perfect, that is competition for Wanye, but it's not giving Wanye the job. Hey, that guy's a second round pick. You are third. Fight it out to the death, you two. And whoever wins the job is the better man for Mahomes' blind side. And the other guy gets to be swing tackle, and you have depth and protection behind Juwan and behind the rookie, you know, whatever. Yeah, I do like that. Okay.
Who's the third round? Did we look up his arm size, by the way?
What's his name?
Kieran Amagaji.
While you looked that up, I was looking more on Ladd McConkey. The one thing, and we always laugh about the strength and weakness article listings for NFL.com.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that does stand out, I will say, considering our discussion last week about, man, I want a wide receiver again that just can track the ball well deep. You know,
that's not his strength.
Here's what they say. It's an alarming number of deep ball tracking drops in 2022.
Great news. That's not great. The great news for the Yale offensive tackle, Kieran, his arm length 36 and an eighth, 92 percentile, 92nd percentile. Look at that. That man's got incredibly long arms.
In regards to his positioning, he did play left tackle his entire career. He played left guard in 2021, a majority, but then switched to left tackle for 22 and 23. I think that, to your point, Gold, with Ladd McConkey, is he's not necessarily a deep threat guy. He is
like a slot guy. Is that wrong?
It sounds more like he's slot, but I think he can play both inside and out. And again, his footwork is what helps him get open. He's a crisp route runner.
Okay.
Talk about stereotypes on this draft report that they wrote up for Ladd McConkey.
Sure,
so Ladd McConkey's
a just name a bunch of other white guys.
Well, look,
the
comp is Elijah Moore, not a white guy. But McConkey's 6'1", 186. Okay, and for those that don't know, yes, Ladd McConkey is white.
Gym rat.
Okay, but basically, here's the last quote from an NFL scouting director.
That's a good one, Cody.
Here's from NFL classic scouting director. Guess. Quote: really smart. You can tell he watches a ton of tape with how good he is at picking up on how to attack guys he's facing. Just like what I mean. This is the cliche stuff that always we always laugh about.
Man, okay.
It's like trying not to do the cliche, but doing it. Speed me through the other rounds. What positions do they take? Fourth through seven.
This gets you ideal defensive tackle in the third round.
Okay.
Mason Smith out of LSU.
That's fine.
Fourth round guard, Layden Robinson out of Texas A&M. And the reason Nick Jacobs says his reasoning behind it is it provides them a good insurance policy for future decisions on Joe Thuney and Trey Smith. So this is a guy that can learn under them, not going to be a starter right away, could potentially be. He's going to fill in Nick Allegretti's spot.
Yeah.
Fifth round, Kamani Vidal, running back from Troy. 5'8", 215 pounds. That's a big dude. The latter fifth round pick. Anthony Gold, wide receiver out of Oregon State, providing some
Anthony
more
than Gold?
Depth.
Did you say Anthony
that's
Gold?
That's your guy.
Oh, that's the cousin of mine.
Well, Alex Gold and Tony Gold.
That's a cousin.
G-O-U-L-D.
It's like Robbie Gold.
Oh. Yeah,
Gold.
Gould? Is it pronounced Gould or Gold?
I think it's Gold.
Okay.
Like Robbie Gold.
Robbie Gold thing. Okay.
That's like getting off-brand. That's like the off-brand Goldfish at Aldi.
Seventh round pick, Jarius Monroe, corner, out of Tulane. So in terms of position, they go wide receiver, offensive tackle, defensive tackle, guard, running back, wide receiver, corner. So they get two wide receivers, get the running back in there. I think in terms of position-wise, it's hard to go against the mock draft.
One thing you left out about Anthony Gold, or Gould, however we're deciding.
Sorry.
Leavenworth, Kansas, he was born. He's a local guy.
Really?
He's a local guy.
Yeah, maybe you are related. Somebody added a U in there. It's like
it's a mistake. It's clearly a mistake.
It was like when the Kelsey family found out that their actual name was supposed to be pronounced Kels this whole time.
Right.
And their dad just was like, nah, we just started doing Kelsey instead.
No, it turns out he was born in Leavenworth. But you said he went to, where did he go to school?
He went to Oregon State. Well, his mother served in the 20 years in the Army, so it sounds he bounced around.
Okay.
A little bit. Like, this says he spent a portion of his childhood in Leavenworth.
It says his mother is a retired Army Master Sergeant, worked in military prisons. That explains the Leavenworth part.
Wow.
There you go.
This guy sounds like kind of like, no wonder he's
Isaiah McKenzie is his comp.
Probably had him doing a military tuck on his bunk bed when he was a kid, you know?
In terms of, if he turns out to be Isaiah McKenzie, of course, that's all.
Shit.
You know, what happens. But he's a good depth wide receiver, I think, because he Isaiah McKenzie's Buffalo, correct?
Yeah. I want you to look up one thing, Drew, before we go to break. Not you can look it up in break and get me back.
Sure.
Someone made a good point that we should not take any mock draft seriously does not include someone with a hyphenated name. I want you to find me.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Felix, Andy DK, Uzama.
I need you to find me the top-rated Juju Smith-Schuster, like everybody the Chiefs love. Find me the top-rated prospect with a hyphenated name, and then we might start doing some business.
I need to look up a big board then, essentially.
Yeah, a big board with a hyphenated name. That's what you're looking for.
We'll let you do that, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the Royals and some of the offensive struggles. And is it actually as problematic as it kind of seems the last three games?